name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You recall that our Lord said, unless you do penance, you shall all likewise perish. If you consult the King James Version of the Bible, the translation is, unless you repent. We concentrate on the former translation because we want to keep mindful of the fact that whenever a person commits sin, even after that sin has been forgiven, there is a punishment that goes with it. It is not logical that we could offend God to our heart's content and lightly apologize to Him and then go our way and imagine that all is well, saying that Christ has atoned for all our sins and therefore the debt is paid. No, with every failure to keep God's law, we ourselves incur a guiltiness and a punishment for those offenses. When one commits a grievous sin, a mortal sin, there is an eternal punishment that is due. When that sin is forgiven in confession, then the eternal punishment is taken away, but there remain temporal punishments, or if you will, temporary punishments. And whenever a person commits a venial sin, a sin for which he would not be condemned to hell, there are still punishments to be suffered, because these offenses against the divine law and against the order of creation have to be made up for. And as you know, it is the teaching of the church that in order to avoid these punishments, either in this life or in the next, one should do penance. One should impose upon himself certain ardors, and Lent is the season for this kind of thing, particularly, although no truly Christian life is free from this kind of thing daily. During Lent, as you know, the traditional observance, the traditional acts of atonement are classified as prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I've already mentioned to you the fasting, which I strongly encourage you to keep. And on another occasion, I'll mention to you the extra prayer that is expected of you. For an example, of course, the little labor that would be required to come on Wednesday. I mustn't forget to remind you also that we will have Mass on Thursday morning at 8:30. I want to speak a little bit today about not the mortal sins for which all of us, if we ever have committed such, will have to do penance, but some of the lesser sins which characterize our lives daily. And I trust that all of you have enough faith to recognize that even though these things are committed and easily forgotten, Almighty God does not forget anything. Not that He is a vengeful God, or not that He is a hard taskmaster, but because God is infinitely just, and it is the law of His very nature that he must reward that which is done in his service, and he must punish all that is done despite him. As I say, I trust that no one here imagines that he is free from sin so that he does not need to do penance. I don't think anyone here imagines that he is as good as the apostles were, and the apostles understood that they had to do penance. So, hoping that you all understand that you are going to have to do penance, let me mention some of the things that you should think about. You know how quick is your impatience, how your anger so readily flares over things that are not of great importance, but over things which displease you. We must be grateful that Almighty God is not as easily angered as we. The little things we do and the little secretive acts of ours that have a purpose of deceit. You know, we do not even want our closest family members to know what we really are inside, or some of the things that we do, some of the motives that we have. On given days, we are in bad moods, and we make others suffer for it. Sometimes it's only the weather, or sometimes it's something that happened early in the day. It really does not matter. We are simply not fit to live with. All of us are going to have to deal with the matter of television. I trust all of us here know that television systems, networks, are controlled by those who have little fear of God, if any belief in Him at all. We know this because we know what entertains them and what they give us for entertainment. And with every month that passes, they parade before us something ever more shocking, something more scandalous, and something more defiant of God's law. And to the extent that we absorb this and enjoy it, we are going to have to do penance. We're going to have to suffer in that we have participated. And to the extent, as I say, that we have enjoyed. There is the matter of our sloth with regard to our spiritual duties, our finding excuses daily for not praying, our always being too busy and then too tired. To say nothing of our sloth with regard to other things, less important, but our duties none the same. Then there is the sensitiveness that we glory in. We so readily take offense. And then, on the other hand, we do not notice those things which we do to offend others. And we are sometimes surprised that they should have been hurt because we did not mean anything. There is our self-respect, that is, our cowardice with regard to that which we ought to do, and our sheepishness lest someone see that we are Catholics or that we are serious about God's law. We don't want to have to explain, and we don't want to be called goody-goodies or whatever. So we act as if we are not offended, and I presume we are not. Our lack of generosity to Christ We are daily being invited by Him through the Spirit to do little things in His service, little acts of kindness, or to say little prayers, to make little sacrifices, to go out of our way, to perform little acts of humility. And we rush along the way and turn our thoughts other places. Remember, my dear people, that not only do we have to atone for all our sins, but also for all graces spurned. All those times when God gave us the power to do something good, and we refused. We're going to have to answer for the excessive use of drink, really the excessive gobbling down of all the entertainment or all the pleasure that we could. And also for all the silliness of our speech when we were under the influence. Sometimes people are just sullen. Sometimes they run off at the mouth. Sometimes they embarrass everyone around them once they've had a few drinks. I don't know about any of the young people here, nor any of the older people as far as that goes, but if any of you toy with dope, you're going to have to atone for that too. Usually it's kind of curiosity, but also it's that vanity that wants to be among the boys or the girls or to be whatever they are, or the cowardice not to be whatever they are. That's probably the greater sin, the lack of courage to stand for what you hear profess. Your improper remarks and off-color jokes, it matters only slightly whether you tell them or you simply enjoy them. Your vulgar speech or your crudities, your lack of modesty or your lack of custody of the eyes, your stinginess with regard to your money. Ordinarily, people who are avaricious are also wasteful. Not always. Sometimes they're just miserly, but very often they don't give their money to their wives or their children when their children need it, because they want it to spend on themselves. And they don't even observe what they use it for. They simply don't have it for the needs of others. You're going to pay. Remember what our Lord said. And the church refers to this little phrase of His as part of the doctrine of purgatory. You shall not come out of it until thou hast paid the last farthing. To us, these little offenses mean nothing. They are hardly rememberable. And they count for very little in our confessions. But with God, they literally vibrate throughout His creation, because nothing is unimportant before His all-scrutinizing eye. Not because, as I say, He is a stickler for detail, but because He is all pure, all good, perfectly just. And it is because He is this way that we love Him and that we must fear Him. He is not like men, who are always inconsistent, who are merciful toward themselves but strict towards others, who preen themselves in their virtues and good qualities and do not see their faults, their vices, and their bad habits. But with God, as I say, everything is seen in its proper proportion and size. Nothing is forgotten, and nothing is overrated. He is going to treat us as is perfectly just. To whom more has been given, more will be required. You have, therefore, my dear people, a choice, whether to pay a little bit now or very much later, if you are to get into heaven. This, of course, brings us to the doctrine of purgatory. It is no problem to us that there is a purgatory. We thank God that there is such a place, because we are not worthy of heaven. I wonder, is there really anyone here who imagines that were he to die this day, he would be immediately raptured up to heaven with the great saints and the all pure angels? We cannot fail to ask the question, is there anyone here who is absolutely certain that when he dies, he will not be plunged into the eternal fires of hell? All of us, I imagine, are striving just to avoid hell. But that is not enough. He requires that we live our lives with the intention of going to heaven. He does not have patience with our too great readiness to land in purgatory, which is all time wasted. Let me talk to you about purgatory just for a few moments, because in any serious-minded Catholic's life, it is a real fact. We are told that no matter what our sins were on earth, we are going to be surprised at how great the atonement that is required of them in purgatory. We are going to be utterly astounded that we see things in such a different way in purgatory, because then we will see things as they are, not as we now delude ourselves they are. Then, as St. Paul said in today's epistle, we will see things as we are now seen by God himself. There will be no illusion, and we will not try to deceive ourselves anymore. We will see ourselves exactly as we might have seen ourselves now, had we not been so deliberately distracted from what we are, from the moment of what we do, from the purposes for which we live. When we are in purgatory, we are going to find that things that we did so casually and so half-heartedly, Almighty God regarded as very important, because there was no need. We are going to be surprised that time slows down, where a moment seems like an hour, and an hour like a week, simply because we will have nothing more to do, nor other than to suffer for our sins. As you know, there are two main sufferings in purgatory. We will suffer as if we were in our bodies, the flames that are supposed to serve to help us to pay the price for our offenses. And much more poignant will be the sufferings of our soul, because we will long for God as we never thought we could. There will be in the very depths of our being such a profound emptiness, because we will want only God, whom we so slightly regarded and still had so readily available on this earth. because in purgatory we will recognize the vacuity of all those things upon which we spent ourselves on this earth. We will see the silliness, the utter folly of all those things upon which we devoted ourselves and spent ourselves and cared so strongly. There is another thing we will observe: how quickly they who we thought loved us have forgotten us, and how we will wish that they would utter simply a prayer for us. But their mind is where ours used to be. Not on purgatory, not on our sins or theirs, but on enjoying life here. That's what brought us there, and that is what will bring them there or to hell. Not an antagonism toward God, but simply a love of this life. And there will be in our souls constantly, as you know, in purgatory there is no morning, noon, and night. There is no going to sleep. There is no surcease of the pain. We will be 100% attentive, because it will be that uncomfortable. But in our souls there will be that abiding sense of self-reproach, because we will be aware that all of this is unnecessary, that all of this is waste. All of this represents our lives wasted. When we might have been good, we were not so bad. We were simply indifferent to goodness. We were not concerned with the truth. We simply lived for ourselves instead of living for God, who has all rights over us. As I say, it will be a matter of self-reproach. We will be aware that we are not doing really any good for ourselves there. We're only making up for something that should have been done sooner, with greater ease, so that it is all wasted. There is no meriting in purgatory. As we die, so shall we go through all eternity. We say all these things, my dear people, in order to put you in the proper frame of mind for Lent. Just imagine those in purgatory, how they wish they had the opportunity that we have. How they wish that they could do something to ease the pain or to shorten the stay with a few prayers, a little alms, a little mortification, a little bit more ardor, and a little bit more fervor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.